It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Our colleagues at Gothamist have been doing an amazing job covering the COVID crisis in New York. And one of the features that's been widely viewed is the daily data update done by Gothamist founder and publisher Jake Dobkin, along with producer Zach Goddard-Cohen, who actually splits his workday between Gothamist and this program. With me now is Gothamist founder and publisher Jake Dobkin. Hi, Jake. Welcome back to the radio side.
Hey, Brian.
And let's start with the big question that I'll bet is on everybody's minds. Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio have tied the decision to start reopening the city to a set of benchmarks in the data. So remind everybody, what needs to happen and how long do you think until we get there?
Well, there are 10 criteria for reopening, which include 7 from the state and 3 from the city. And those requirements are things like a 14-day decline in new cases and hospitalizations and having enough tests and having enough contact tracers. It seems like the areas that we're struggling in are around hospital capacity. We still have too many COVID patients in our wards and in our ICUs. So Mayor de Blasio has said he expects the reopening to be by June, and based on the numbers that we're seeing, that seems to be about right. You can track each of these criteria on our stats page, which you can find at gothamist.com/COVID stats.
And the city just released a tranche of new data as part of their daily reporting on the status of the pandemic. What do we know now that we didn't before?
Well, this week we've gotten data on deaths in each New York zip code, which we didn't have before. And generally, there were more deaths in zip codes which had more positive COVID cases. There were more deaths in zip codes that were poorer, that had more minority residents, that had more asthma cases, and where people lived in more crowded apartments. Some neighborhoods that we didn't really do a lot of focus on before, like Starrett City in Brooklyn and Co-op City in the Bronx, really popped out as having high death rates, while others, especially in lower Manhattan, had almost no deaths at all.
And let's narrow our focus even a little bit more to zoom in on new data that you have detailing COVID-19 cases and deaths of people who live in NYCHA's public housing facilities in particular. What's the takeaway from that data?
The fatality rate was very high among NYCHA residents relative to the city population. Some of that tracks with what we know about infections being higher in poor communities and in communities with a lot of minority residents. But we're still seeing a case fatality rate nearly twice the city average, which really stood out. So we mapped every NYCHA development with positive cases or deaths. There were some developments that had more than 20 deaths each. So the city and state are both working on programs to address those higher rates. They're going to try to get more testing out to each of the developments, distribute more PPE, and do some educational campaigns targeting those neighborhoods.
Jake, I've been interested in this stat that Governor Cuomo keeps bringing up, that 2/3 of the hospitalizations as of the beginning of May, which is, I think, the last data they have on this, 2/3 of the hospitalizations were people who had been sheltering at home, not essential workers. Is there anything in the data that you've seen that could help shed light on what's going on there? It may be a misleading number, I think that's possible, or it may be a revealing one.
I mean, I was definitely surprised by that. You know, so I was trying to think of some explanations. For one, it might just have been people who were exposed a couple of weeks before they started to shelter, because we know infections can take weeks to manifest. I mean, usually an infection shows up in five, seven, 8 days, but some people in China didn't show up for 29 days. So it's possible you just caught it before you started to shelter. Or it could be people that live with a first responder or a frontline worker and then caught it from them, you know, and it took some time to spread. And then, of course, it's also possible, though I think it's pretty unlikely, that these people, you know, who were sheltering at home went outside and caught it at a grocery store or a laundromat or talking to a neighbor outside. But we've learned that most transmission is indoors between close contacts. So that kind of casual contact leading to spread seems pretty unlikely.
You know, we're about to hit, tragically, 100,000 COVID deaths nationwide. It may even be today. And there's this tug of war over the numbers that seems to have become partisan, whether to think that's an overcount or whether to think that's an undercount. Are you following this controversy?
Yeah, I am. I mean, obviously, we're very closely interested in the data and whether the data is fair. In New York, it seems like the data is fairly honest. You know, we have a state health organization that reports its numbers and a city health organization. They're separate. So we have sort of two different sets of data that we can compare. It doesn't seem to be partisan here. You know, we've been following that case in Florida where one of the data authorities quit because she said that the state officials were trying to force her to, skew the data to make it seem more favorable to reopening. We haven't seen anything like that here. So I think that New York residents can be pretty confident that the numbers that we have are honest, at least, you know, as far as they're being reported. Of course, you know, the numbers are based on, you know, what the city learns each day, and they're often updated. So you have to keep an eye on them.
And I guess the legitimate data dispute on those national numbers is, should they count the number of deceased as only those who were COVID positive through testing, or those who doctors saw with their eyes seem to have it with or without the tests and succumb to it? So there's a back and forth on that, and then it becomes political because we know Trump is always concerned about his numbers. There is still a mismatch, isn't there, between the state's daily New York City data and the city's? Wasn't there a moment just recently where there were more New York deaths according to the city than there were according to the state?
Yeah, that's true. That's because New York City includes probable deaths, which are those deaths you're talking about where the deceased person did not have a positive COVID death, but it seemed pretty obvious to the doctors that COVID was involved. So the city reports those and we include them in the total, but the state doesn't. So the state numbers are probably missing around 5,000 deaths just in New York City. And then, of course, there are the people, the probable deaths outside New York City. So altogether, you know, New York State probably has 30,000 or more deaths, which suggests that the fatality rate for the disease is about 1% of everyone who is infected, you know, which is an interesting number that we didn't know before.
Jake Dobkin, the founder and publisher of Gothamist, as we're almost out of time with him. Before you go, Jake, as a journalist, I'm wondering how you would grade the city and state's data practices. Are they responsive to our newsroom's requests? Are they transparent about their collection practices? And are they good collection practices? Like, if you could wave a wand and summon a perfect data set, numbers we don't even have right now, that would answer your most burning questions, what data would you wish for?
Well, I'd give them pretty good marks. I mean, they haven't released all the data that we've asked for. We'd really love to have antibody surveys by zip code, so we could really zoom in and see the true scale of infections around the city. And we also haven't gotten data about individual hospital performances. You know, for instance, did more patients die at hospitals that got slammed the hardest? Were some hospitals better at treating patients than others? That's information we'd really like to have that I think New Yorkers would be interested in seeing.
Well, Gothamist is doing amazing work, Jake, with rolling updates through the day, the investigative reporting, your daily data crunching. So thanks for everything Gothamist is doing. It's really outdoing itself. Gothamist founder and publisher Jake Dobkin, thanks for coming on the Radio Side.
Thanks so much.